This is The Evening Buzz, presented by Mikhail Attia.
So, CinemaCon 2024 is taking place right now, and that means we're getting some big announcements for some upcoming movies. But I'm going to focus right now on Disney, as, well, they have numerous studios, and that means they got a lot of projects in the works. So they were at CinemaCon 2024 and had a massive presentation showcase with a lineup of highly anticipated projects, including sequels, prequels, and new adventures in the Disney and Marvel universes. So we're going to do a bit of a breakdown of some of the key highlights from the CinemaCon showcase. So, starting off with Deadpool and Wolverine. This is the only Marvel movie coming out later this year, simply because all other Marvel projects have been delayed, they've been reshoot, and they've been pushed for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, Deadpool and Wolverine has a lot of expectations behind it. This is Kevin Feige's, Kevin Feige, head of Marvel Studios, unveiled a 9-minute footage from the highly anticipated crossover film. Yeah, I won't say too much about it because I feel like this is a trailer that reveals too much about the movie, but there is already a trailer on YouTube that you can check out. Some of the footage they included was typical Deadpool humor, fourth wall breaks, and hints at a collaboration with Wolverine. And that's as much as I'm going to say about that. But later this year is coming out, so the only Marvel movie for this year could be worth watching. Another big Marvel movie that's been in development hell. It has been postponed time and time again. There's been reshoots galore. But they apparently revealed some footage showing Anthony Mackie's new look for Captain America and his story of rebuilding the Avengers. Not much about the teaser besides that there seems to be hinting at a very intense storyline that could be playing a bigger part in future Marvel movies. So, Captain America Brave New World trailer was a very fascinating look. I'm sure they'll show a lot more in due time. But another big one, and this comes from their Fox department studio, 21st Century Fox. This is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. This was a 13-minute footage showcasing the beginning part of this movie. And it basically is a continuation of, War for the Planet of the Apes. It takes place hundreds of years after that movie's storyline, focusing on a character named Noah and his journey across an overgrown world where now Earth is basically dominated by the evolving apes. And it shows also some interesting things about how the past behind humans, if they truly were friends to the monkeys and stuff like that. It looks very interesting. This is a movie I'm kind of excited for coming out later this year. So yeah, and then we have a new entry to the Alien film series. This is Alien Romulus, and apparently it was Ridley Scott himself and the director Fede Alvarez presented footage from the upcoming Alien installment, featuring some intense scenes of investigation and horror aboard a spacecraft, looking perhaps to go back to the roots of how Alien movies used to, the first Alien movie was a cultural phenomenon. So you can imagine trying to recreate that, lightning in a bottle seems to be the objective of not only this movie, but the trailer they showed. Inside Out 2 also introduced 35 minutes of the sequel. So a lot of this footage, by the way, we will not see online. This was only presented to people who were there. But the setup of Inside Out 2, this is Pixar's next animated feature film that delves into the themes of anxiety, boredom, envy, and embarrassment. So, navigating the challenges of growing up in full animation. Exciting. Could this be Pixar's revival or redemption? We shall see. And then we've also gotten a glimpse of the prequel to the Lion King live action. This is Mufasa, and apparently it's going to be emphasizing the film's emotional depth and exploration of characters' journeys throughout Africa. Now, never liked the Lion King live action movie. I feel it's just a regurgitated cash grab. So this feels like more of that. So if you're down for it, it's coming out later this year in December. And those are pretty much all the big announcements from Disney's CinemaCon 2024. If you've been hearing some of the rumors or seen the news articles about it, maybe there is actual leaked footage for some of these big movies. Do let me know. Text me 4215. It's Lot Review. Would love to hear from you guys. We're going to take a short break. Coming up next, we have a really surprise announcement for a live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles R-rated movie. Whew. Since when Teenage Ninja Turtles was mature franchise, the secret to it actually, it always been dark and mature. And I think it's about time that it gets a proper adaptation of that world. Let's talk about it right here on The Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
Now, I wouldn't say that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a franchise that's as popular as it used to be, at least back in the 90s. That franchise was big. Kids absolutely ate that up. I remember even being young during those times, watching those live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. They were not bad, okay? But here's the thing. It was this weird twist of fate that a comic book writer who wrote this series, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was actually in the comics. It's a lot much more, it's darker, it's kind of a bit dystopian, it's gritty, it's very mature, it's violent. But, being in the 90s, I guess they wanted to cater a little bit more to children, so the cartoons definitely changed the look and feel of the original comic, and that's how we're kind of familiar with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's nothing more than just that. But apparently, Paramount Pictures is looking to tackle this challenge of trying to depict an upcoming project, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle in live action, by embracing a darker and R-rated approach. With the fact that they're developing a film adaptation of something called The Last Ronin. This was a comic book standalone series from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe. Basically the premise of it, it's pretty dark. The premise is that that three of the four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo, have been killed. And the only one that's left is Leonardo. And so he goes on this vengeful mission to avenge his dead brothers, right? And it's all wrapped around a dystopian, very dark and very gritty world, which does not resemble what, if you're familiar with this franchise, does not resemble anything that you have seen before. But I think this is a really great approach because it welcomes an audience, a fan base out there that may have loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the cartoons to the Michael Bay movies, to tap into something that's of their age, of their maturity, and be something worthwhile. At the moment, this is still in development. We don't know too much about this live-action adaptation, what is going to happen, if it's probably even going to get canceled midway through production. Could happen. Focus groups end up basically being the lifeline of some movie development if basically they find that audiences generally don't like this movie before it coming out to, to cinema or to whatever release. It might end up being thrown out. It's happened time and time again. But also bear in mind, The Last Ronin is not only having a live action adaptation, but there's even a video game that's in development under the same name and under the same premise. So it seems like there's a, to those who involved in the development of the movie and the game, there's like this high risk, you could say, of putting this out there, because again, it's not like people are familiar with the fact that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has always been just a very kiddie, very cartoonish, very, you know, family friendly, and now it's taking that extra step. So it's a risk, but I think it's a creative risk that could pay off if it's done right and if it caters to the appropriate audience, which I believe there is, because if you can, I think any franchise or film series or show, if it's able to grow with its audience, it's a lot more impactful than something that comes off as alienating or, you know, completely changing it from the ground up. Reboots have this problem because people are nostalgic. They can't help themselves. They're going to always look back and look at things fondly over things that they used to watch and used to enjoy. And so if you completely strip away from what is familiar and you don't do it right, you could end up just, you know, making the whole franchise fall apart. But this is a risk that I'm actually banking on. I want to see this executed and come out hopefully in the near future. So I'm excited for this. It's a bizarre project, but I think it's always those type of projects that you have that risk factor to them, that if they pay off, they're going to pay off big time. So yeah, excited for that. But another big, a big failure from Electronic Arts, and this comes out of their decision, talking about this next, is the fact that they're no longer working on a Dead Space 2 remake. Why? What are you doing, Electronic Arts? I mean, you're just adding more fuel to the fire from people who find any reason to hate you these days. Let's talk about that right here on The Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
Pulse 95.
So one of the most unfortunate news that comes from Electronic Arts recently, this is a video game publisher known for some big, big franchises such as FIFA. Well, they don't call it FIFA anymore. They call it FC, or Football Club, FC 24, Battlefield, and Apex Legends, Titanfall. But one game, and here's the thing about Electronic Arts, they had a pretty rocky history, a track record of buying out franchises and studios, working them to the bone, and then just when that studio fails to reach a sales number, they shut them down. So many legendary studios were shut down because of EA, and it's because of that wasted potential and the way that they managed those studios that people have a genuine hatred for EA, because that company can oftentimes show the ugly side of the gaming industry. How, you know, it starts off with a studio that, it starts off with creative teams with amazing ideas and a whole lot of passion and love to create fun experiences, and basically, you know, filtering it to turn into this systematic monetized product that you can make money off of. It's just profit first, creativity and fun second. And I'm not saying that EA is the only company guilty of this. Many other companies out there, but their actions find themselves to be just a little bit more out there. And time and time again, there are times EA has disappointed many of fans, many of players out there who were huge dedicated fan bases behind big games. I mean, one of their most recent fumbles has to be the Battlefield franchise, as now they recently announced that Battlefield 2042 will no longer be getting any more seasonal releases, just some patches and maintenance, but they will no longer be working on that game as they're moving on to the next potential Battlefield. And just now there's update about them no longer or even have no interest in making a sequel to the Dead Space remake. Now, Dead Space is a horror survival franchise that was made under EA. It was published by EA, made under Visceral Game Studios. That studio shut down, unfortunately, for the same reasons. You know, they make games. If they don't set a certain sales or, you know, a certain sales number, shut them down. And that's exactly what happened. Is that Dead Space was a horror franchise that had so much potential, but by the time it reached the third game, a lot of its core identity has been stripped away to put something that is more action oriented and even monetary. And this was at a time when EA was just really focused on making single player games monetizable. They don't do that anymore to an extent. I'd say those FC games still do it. And unfortunately, after Dead Space 3, they just completely shut down that studio and didn't consider working on future projects. But they did come back with a Dead Space remake. And it really got fans kind of excited because it's like, oh, there's this renewed interest from EA. And now that they're no longer, apparently they were not even working on Dead Space 2 remake, shows that they were never interested in reviving this franchise properly, but more so just banking on the remake craze. Because for the last couple of years, we've seen studios like Capcom who have been remaking their classic Resident Evil games, and they have been selling millions and millions of copies. I mean, Resident Evil 4 Remake came out last year and sold pretty well. It compels, and you can imagine, it compels EA and even other big companies like Konami to step back in and try to remake some horror classics. And you know, that's why we're getting Silent Hill 2 remake, and that's why we even got that Dead Space remake. But it's a shame that it only stops there, that it's nothing more than just a cash grab to these companies. And instead of, you know, reviving franchises that were once beloved and cherished by numerous of players out there, it's such a vague and almost uncertain fate for a lot of video game series and franchises in the market out there. Some of them stay completely in dormancy for decades on end, and others do get a chance, but just can't find the right audience for it or sell just enough, you know, just enough copies to help it survive another development cycle. It's fierce, it's competitive, it's demanding, but at the same time, it can also be quite disappointing to see that these companies just work at such a, almost like, you know, systematic level, like just, you know, like pump out games, not because we want to create something fun and enjoyable for our audiences, but because if it just plays well enough and we can put some paywalls and monetize it properly, it will reap in the profits. It's EA will always remind me that the industry will have that very bad streak of greed and how it impacts and affects the creativity that comes behind your most favorite games out there. Sorry to be ending it off on a bad note, but that's just, you know, you got to get real sometimes. But with that, guys, it's time to wrap it up here on the Evening Buzz. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you guys tomorrow from 8 till 9 p.m. Keeping you guys busy and entertained all throughout the week and shift, only here on Pulse 95. This is Mikhail Atiyah signing out. Have a good one.
If you liked this episode of The Evening Buzz, go, 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 drop a like and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Instagram for all our daily updates and top stories. Pulse.